zeggen nishmas Avi Moriah Chavisa Pitchas is zeichen nishmas Daniel Shein where she'll sure follow. Okay, I want to do a couple of things in this week's parsha that are lemaisa, but maybe not directly. We'll see. Hopefully, you'll find something interesting. In the end of Parshas Vaschanan, in Perek Vav, Halacha Pasuk Yud Aleph, it talks about when the Klal Yisrael is going to go into Eretz Yisrael and conquer. And it says, Ubotim Malayim Kol Tuv. And you're going to go into the houses, and they're going to have mamish, all types of delicacies in the house, in the houses of the people that you're going to conquer. Ubotim Malayim Kol Tuv. Asholom Mimesa Uborot Chatsum Shalom Chatsav Likram Shalom Tadav Ve'achalto V'savata. And you're going to go and eat. All the Ubotim Malayim Kol Tuv. Now, let me ask you a question. The Kanani, Prizi, Yavusi, all these people's houses, they were kosher. You're going to eat all the food in their house. So the Gemara says in Chulin on Dav Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the tremendous chiddush that I feel can't leave the chaziri. That even mamish, you can go into the fridge, the freezer, take out treif meat and eat it. Unbelievable. The Shas, when they were Kovish, coming into Eretz Yisrael, and they can have Botim Malayim Kol Tuv. So this was a heter, unbelievable. It was a heter to eat treif at that time. Wow. A heter to eat treif at that time. And the Rambam, the Shekhar, is warm and throwing in Perek Ches Hilchas Malachim. Halacha Aleph says, "Mutulam lechol develus atrevus." So Rambam writes imirav. He says you should only eat the treif if you're hungry and you can't find, you know, something else to eat. So then you can eat the treif, but not. But the Ramban Parshas Veschanan says no. That it's not because of the. You know, very warm, it says here, because of pikuach nefesh and or hunger. It's just as mutter. When they conquer the lands, they could get the booty. Mutter hutol lahem shlal oyveim. And they could eat the food. Rambam says, I've checked the point there, warm points out, it's only if there's nothing else to eat. But, Ramban says, no, who said that it's only if they have nothing else to eat? Ubatim Malayim Kol Tuv. And that's the Gemara in Chulin and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Oh. So the Gemara has a fascinating question. A fascinating question. The Gemara is in Chulin Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. And you're going to, and at first glance, it's not relevant, but you'll see how the poskim use this Gemara to discuss some topics that are relevant to Lamaisa. So this is the story. There is a concept called Basar Nechira. Basar Nechira. What does Basar Nechira mean? So I once had a whole discussion with Rav Bleich Shliter about Basar Nechira, and he told me to look in the Hakdama to the Sefer Dor Revi. And basically the idea that Rav Bleich was saying from that Sefer, based on just different shitas, is that in the Midbar, they didn't yet have the mitzvah of Shechita. So you didn't have to, when you were in the Midbar, you didn't have the Chiyuv of Shechita. But you couldn't just shoot an animal and eat it, because that would be nevela. You had to cut the simonim. You had to cut the simonim, the cut and the veshet. You had to cut the, you know. But you didn't have to do it with the proper halachas of shechita. Shechita is proper halachas. It has to be glided. You press down, it's no good. If you pause in the middle, it's no good. There are a lot of different halachas that pass on the shechita. The original halacha in the Midbar was bechira. Just you had to just cut the simanim, not necessarily in the proper way of the normal standards of shechita. You cut the simanim, and then you could eat it. So that was the din in the Midbar. That was called basa nechira. So the Gemara asked the question. So what happened? So they had a lot of basa nechira in the Midbar, but now say they go into Eretz Yisrael. Now they go into Eretz Yisrael, and now what? Now that they don't have the heter anymore, so what's going to with all that meat? Do we say that since that meat they already did the nechira, it was mutter for them in the midbar? So whatever meat they take with them, it's still mutter in Eretz Yisrael. But do we say no? That once you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's over. So that's what the Gemara wants to say. So the Gemara says, but what's the question? Even treif is mutter when you go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no, but treif mainly is only mutter when it's the booty of what you conquered from the goyim, because that's what the pasuk said. Maybe your own treif meat that you're bringing from the midbar, that was the bas and the chira, which was nevela because it's. But of course, on the standards of Hilcha Shechita, it wasn't a proper Shechita, which was good when they were in the Midbar, but not when they go into Eretz Yisrael. So that was the Shaila. If you already have it from before and you bring it with you, do we say once you go to Eretz Yisrael, now it's all Aser, or only the new things you get are going to be Aser, but not what you brought in from with you from before? That's the question. The Gemara, and the Gemara ends off Teiku. Teiku. We don't know the answer. So the Rush asks the Rush and Chulin, the famous Rush and Chulin on Yudayin and Aleph. He asks a question, simple question. My da hava. Who cares? In other words, this halacha of Basar Nechira will never be relevant again. Once we got into Israel, the Torah was given. Once we go into Israel, there's no halacha that Basar Nechira is mutter. So we'll never have, so who cares what was the halacha? It's like history. What was the halacha when they came into Israel and they still had that Basar Nechira from before? Would it be Asar or mutter? Okay, it's an interesting theoretical question. But the Gemara, even though Gemara has theoretical things, but all the principles are principles that are still useful for us now. So what's the use of this question? Of whether the basar was mutter or not mutter, that's his question. So his answer is twofold. One is, say for example, a person made an isser on himself. He says he's not gonna have apples now. Nafkamin osur atzmo be'echad ben aminim bizman yadua. From this date on, I won't have the apples. So the question is, does that apply only to the new apples that he's going to buy, or even does it apply to the things he already has in his possession? That's number one. Number two, say Bezdin wants to make a takana. You know, they made takanas. They asked the Gvina Sakum, the cheese of a goy. They asked the things. So what if I just bought, I went on a shopping spree and I bought all the cheese and now Bezin's going to come. They made an Isser. So that's going to be the question, because that could always happen in the future. When Bezin will make an Isser, then will that only apply to the things I buy only in the future, or will even apply the things that I already have in my possession? So even though this scenario, Basar Nechira, is not relevant anymore, but the principles still could be relevant, like the example I just gave you. The Bezdin is going to say, oh, we're going to Aser now, whatever, this particular thing. And now they make it Issa D'Rabbanan. Will that apply to Aser, even the things from before, only the new things? So let me bring you two halachas that are discussed in the poskim relevant to this Gemara. I think one we might have mentioned before, Tisha B'Av. What's the din if a person He says, the discussion of the poskim, we know we don't eat meat during the 9 days. It's interesting. There's also a minhag that's brought down in the poskim not to eat meat till Shabbos Nachem. It's usually not our minhag. And what about your talis, John? Is this Shabbos? You're going to make the Shechiyanu? Today you made it?
It's Shabbos. I have it in
it's
the
Shabbos.
Box.
Okay. I'm taking it out.
Putting it in my talis bag tonight.
Okay, good.
And I'm making my Shabbos talis bag now. Talis not going to be my weekday talis. So, but yes, I'm making a Shechiyanu to Shabbos. Thank you.
I'm making a Shechiyanu.
For reminding me.
Okay, good. We should give a shiur about that once, about making a Shabbos talis into a weekday talis. I should give a shiur on that. That's a good topic. Okay, so this is the question. So what if you bought a whole bunch of things for Shabbos during the 9 days, right? You know, I told you, usually my wife, it's Sunday night, if we don't have a wedding, so dinner Sunday night is usually leftovers from Shabbos. That's our minhag. Now, a lot of times we have weddings Sunday night, so then, you know, after a while, it's, you know, can't last forever, the leftovers. But so what if you have, so this is his question. During the 9 days, you got the meat for Shabbos Chazon, and now you have leftovers. Now you have leftovers. Are you allowed to eat those leftovers during the 9 days? In other words, was you already got them the heter for Shabbos, and now you want to? And it's he quotes one of the Rabbanim here. He says, "In Yerushalayim Yerakodesh, Nogul Shalochol Basar." Right? He says, and then he says, "Shomash Omrim B'Shem Harav Mara Yitzchaki." This. Baal Mechaber Sefer Zer Avram Mara Yitzchaki. He was a big person. He was the Rebbe of the Chidah. I see it says here in this edition Yodei Bina. And this person, he would eat the Shabbos leftovers, the meat, during the 9 days. He would eat the leftovers, and other people as well. And he brought a raya from this Gemara in Chul. Because just as this Gemara Chul then has a discussion, if you had the boss in the Chira from before when you were in the Midbar, and then you came in, so it's a question of the Gemara whether it's mutter or not. So it's a teku. So teku, you know, is like a suffix. So. But this is not eating meat in the 9 days is only a minhag. So for a minhag, we could be mekel of the teku. So therefore, some rabbanim, it's not our minhag today to do this. But so I don't want to, you know, try to, I'm not here to try to tell you to do this. This is not our practice. But the minhag of these rabbanim was that they would eat the leftovers, even after Shabbos. The Sunday night dinner. So we won't eat the Sunday night dinner leftovers if it's in the 9 days, but they would eat because just like the Gemara says that the Evari Basa Nechira is a teku, but that's because Basa Nechira, that's a Shaila Vadaraisa of the Velo. This is only a minute. So since it was mutter originally when you got it in the food for Shabbos, so then you just like the Bas and Nechira is a question. That was a question because it's a shiloh of the rice of the veil. But this is only a minute. So then they said that it's okay. Wow. So he's mater. So and that's the whole discussion here. The Bnei Yisachar is quoting all this that I just told you from the. But he uses that Gemara for this idea, and then he says. That maybe you could argue because maybe it's not a good comparison, but it has a whole discussion whether when something was mutter originally, there's a whole discussion. The Gemara would that apply as well? He writes here the B'nai Soschar that he was mishamish a certain tzaddik. That tzaddik, most the tzaddik of wrote the sefer Or Pnei Moshe from one of the Talmidim of the Rebbe of Melimelech of Lizhensk. So he says that this person will take the leftover Shabbos food, like the cake and stuff like that, and somebody chashuv would come during the week to his house. He would say that I want to give you this. This is like shiori menachos. I mean, this concept, that the rebbes have of shirayim is not a is you know it has sources in something that you would set aside for Shabbos. So the leftover piece of cake, I don't know. It depends when the person came during the week. Leftover cake, was and it's interesting that I was giving the shiur to on Zoom when I was giving shiurim on the Beinam Tsarim. So there's a fellow from Yerushalayim, Aaron Engstreich. So he made a comment, which is very very good comment, and he says over there it made a lot of sense because they didn't have freezers those days. So therefore, if you're not going to eat the leftover meat, see, we could have the leftover meat for Shabbos. We could freeze it, then we could serve it maybe sometime in the future. But they're not going to have it, and I so that's what he pointed out. And I think I saw someone else point out in one of the Sfarim that, and therefore it might come to be that people will start saying we're not going to buy a nice amount of food for. The Shabbos chazon, because the leftovers are all going to go to pot, and therefore maybe that's a reason why they should be matter, based on that. And that was the whole discussion. To us, we're not even, so that's what this fellow of our answer was saying. To us, it's less of a question because we have, freezers and things like that. But to them, it was a real much more of a shaila of, sometimes. You're afraid that, and one of the Svarim here points out that's the concept of hitir sofam shim prilosam, that sometimes we're going to be permit something because if we don't permit it, then you won't want to do it. This is the whole question. Moshe Feinstein had this tremendous chiddush, and the tremendous chiddush was that he permitted Hatzalah. People to drive home on Shabbos after the emergency is over. He permitted because this is a concept of tir sovam shum tfilasim, that if you're not going to let them come home to be with their families, they're not going to want to go in the first place. So that's he tir sovam shum tfilasim. The Gemara has this discussion. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a tshuva arguing with Moshe. He argues with him, I believe, I think Rabbi Will pointed out that he said he asked Rishus from Rabbi Moshe to print it, even though he was arguing with him. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was, as Rabbi Will pointed out, very big Balmidos, a very big Anav, a very big, I had this chus one trip when my father and I were in Eretz Yisrael, we davened every night with Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. A very special person, besides the learning, just his whole hanhaga, whole gestalt is, very, very special. So he says, because the poskim, most poskim say that hetir sofam shum pilosin is only to be matter and this is derabanan. Here, even Rav Moshe is mattering and this is deraisa of traveling back a car and Shabbos is and this is deraisa. And Rav Moshe had a unique approach how to explain a certain Gemara in Erevin and he mattered that. So that was the one of those, I think one of the Orthian, the Beis Hoskha, this Davina, perhaps, this idea that that if you if you're not going to be matted the meat after after Shabbos, then people are not going to want to get in, you know, they'll be too skimpy on what they buy for Shabbos for that Shabbos, and then maybe sure it makes sense because the Isra of eating meat on the 9 days is only, not even a drabbanan, it's only a minute. But even that we don't fulfill, and that's the fellow of Aaron Einstein pointed out, because today we don't have such a tzorach because we have freezes, so we could freeze it. But this was a big shaila, and there were people, the rabbanim, chasher rabbanim, who used to be makel, that they would eat the rest of the food as well. That's what one hole. Then there's another tshuva in the Sefer Yad Eliyahu of Eliyahu of Lublin. And he has a question like this. He says, we know that when one's wife is a nida, so there are certain halachos that a person is not allowed to, besides the two main isurim of cohabiting together and having chibuk v'nishuk, but Chazal and the Rishonim asked many other things. So one of the things they asked was, you can't eat from the same plate with your wife when she's a nida, and you can't eat her leftovers. You can't eat her leftovers because we're afraid if you're going to eat her leftovers, that's going to attract you more to her. She could eat yours, but you can't eat hers because we assume the man is more attracted to the woman. So once he's going to start eating her leftovers, that's going to be moshif more, and then he could do something more significant with her during the nidus period, and therefore Chazal. Oh, but then, so the question is, so the poskim say, but once she left the room and she's not there, then you could eat her leftovers. So the question is, what if she left the room and you started eating her leftovers, then she came back. And then she came back. So then what? So that's a tshuva in the Sefer Yad Eliyahu. And he says, Bechora dami din zeh lahadabai Rav Yirmiyah. So he says that this din has similarity to that same Gemara in Chulin. Because once something, the same idea, once something is mutter, you know, like we have a concept of Yudel Brody always liked to quote Gemara, Haven's Ishtari, you know, that possibility that maybe the Basar Nechira, even though Basar Nechira is also in Eretz Yisrael, but the meat you had before, that was a question in the Gemara, and that we pass in the Chumrah because it's a sign of a Doraisa. But say the din of Basar in the 9 days, it's only a minute. Well, this halacha, the halacha of not eating the Shirayim of the leftovers of your wife when she's in Ida, that's not a din Doraisa. So it's an added chumrah. So maybe the same concept could apply that maybe the same concept could apply that once you were permitted to eat because she left the room, then you could continue even if she came back. And that's so you see, it's so interesting how this Gemara seems to be so theoretical, and that's the Rosh's Kasha, right? The Hava Hava, you know, but there could be, you know, two cases that could be very common: the case of the 9 days and the meat with the 9 days, and the case of the nida, who you eat her leftovers, and then she, when she left the room, and then she comes back, whether you can continue to eat or you have to stop. But so these are some very interesting Halachas regarding this. This, yeah, okay. Now let me show you one other thing, and then we'll lead into Divrei Agada. And you should. I mean, this is who's anyone a gabbai here? Who's the gabbai for Shabbos here? So this, I'm going to tell you this vort, and then you'll remember this for the rest of your life when you say the pasuk Atem Advekim Hashem Olkechem Chaim Kulchem Hayom. Okay. So there's a fascinating, or I want you to look it up, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Arachaim HaKadosh, in that pasuk, V'atem advekim Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayon. And he says a fascinating idea. What does he say? So he says the following. that this is Perek Dalet Pasuk Dalet in Veschan. So we know there's a halacha that you're not allowed to be mochik Shem Hashem. Whereas if you have Shem Hashem, Kevavke, Aleph Dalet, the different Shem Hashems, you're not allowed to erase the name of Hashem. That's an Isser Daraisa to erase Shem Hashem. Yud Kevavke, all the different, all the Shem Hashems. So there's a fascinating discussion in the Gemara in Shavuos. What about prefixes and suffixes of Shem Hashem? Beilokim, Leilokim. The Beis, the Lamed, that's not the Shem Hashem, but it's a prefix. Or Elokechem, the Chaf Mem. Right, so what is the story of that? So it's a machlokus in the Gemara, and the Rambam paskins in Perek Vav Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah that there's a difference between prefixes and suffixes. Beilokim, the bays of Beilokim, that you could erase. The Elokecha, the Chaf Sofis, the Chaf Mem, Elokechem, that you can't erase. What the Gemara calls Nitpal Lefonov, the thing that's attached to Shem Hashem as a prefix, can be erased. Nitpal La'acharov, what is attached to Shem Hashem at the end, cannot be erased. And so that's so the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, yeah, let me read it to you. Mashes kavelom mamar dekim Hashem perish fisher shames em yuchad enos and bechon svechel elab milfanov. So, and the idea being that el kaosio shel melechas shel chov mem shel el kechem shu kedoshim kishar osio shel Hashem. Kamram is b'teves b'ashem. Enum chalish l'fanav l'an sh'dvuch Yisrael hu b'shemas atzmam ha'ma'achdim or nafsham k'dei sh'lo tovin sh'akavan hu k'osya sin palum fa'onav e'lam k'dusha. So that's what it means. Atem ha'dveikim Hashem u'lokeichem. That our dveikus to Hashem should be like nitpal la'acharav. That like the chaf mem. Does the chaf mem get k'dusha? And I thought, he has a piece on this. Maybe you knew him, Rabbi Yellow. The Pataka Rav, Rav Shlomo Zalman Horowitz, in the Litvisker Shul.
Sure. It's called the Little Rebbe. He was very short.
Yeah, right. The Little Rebbe. In the Lower East Side.
My father always take me there. Yeah, all the time.
So he wrote a sefer. They have a sefer from the Chumash called Beis Aron. And in that sefer, Beis Aron, he quotes the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And the way I understood what Or HaChaim HaKadosh said and what he's saying, I don't know, have to see how exactly what he wrote, but the idea that I thought is learning from it, from what I saw in the Beis Aron and what I see here in the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, is that, you know, if you put something before Hashem, that doesn't have Kedusha. The Lamed, Leilo Kechem, Beilo Kechem, anything you put Hashem first and anything comes after that. So I think that's what these Arachim HaKadosh and the Patriarch Rav is saying. Those things, if you put Hashem first, anything else that comes afterwards, that's Nitpa La Harav, has Kedusha, and that's our relationship. Whatever Hashem wants, we put that first. And Atem Advekim Hashem Alokechem, that Advekus is Hashem Alokechem. We are Nitpa La Harav. So then Nitpa La Harav has Kedusha. And that's the thing, you know, a lot of times people, you know, Avodas Hashem, if it fits into what, you know, in their lives, they'll do it. But not that Avodas Hashem is first, and then everything else has to fit in to, you know, to what Hashem wants. And the schedule is around, you know, being able to go to shul, being able to daven, being able to learn. And then whatever the else is, you could do as nipple, as opposed to the person who says, no, this is what I want to do. And this is what I, and if there's time for me to go to shul and do this and that, then, you know, so be it. But our attitude has to be Hashem, the Dveikus Hashem Elokeichem, that when Nitpal Lacharav was the Chof Mem of Elokeichem, you can't erase. Because even though it's not part of the Shem, suffixes are different. That we, the Rambam paskens the difference between prefixes based on the Gemara and Shavuos. There are two opinions there that suffixes cannot be erased, and that's the kedusha l'acharav, and that's the idea that we're saying before with the Or Pnei Moshe says that something that was set aside for Shabbos, you had your wife baked the cake for Shabbos, so. So you eat that cake, the leftovers during the week, that's a chashivas, because it was set aside for Kedusha. In other words, if you had another cake that was just baked for Tuesday night, but it wasn't for Shabbos, so this cake is more chashiv. That's why when he had an Adam chashiv, the Or Pnei Moshe, the Bnei Yisrael says, when he had an Adam chashiv that would come to his house and he wanted to be mechabed him, I hope the cake was still fresh, but he would give him the Shabbos cake, the cake that was set, because that's the Dveikim Hashem Lokechem, that you would dovik, you gave that Kedusha was, you know, dovik Hashem. That's the Parshas Emor, the Radomsk. Of Shlomo HaKohen of Radomsk. Any Radomsk Hasidim here? Okay, but Radomsk, so he quotes the Mishnah in Zvachim that if you have something, you know, on the Mizbeach, so certain things you don't put on the Mizbeach, you put the fats, etc. And certain things you put on the Mizbeach, like you put the horns of the animal on the Mizbeach, you have to take it down. Because it doesn't belong there. But if it's still attached to the animal, and the parts that you do put, those things that really don't belong, but they're attached to the thing, you can still leave them on. Because if it's attached to Kedusha, it still has a level of Kedusha. So the wool of the so if you shear it off, you can't put it on the Mizbeach. You have to take it down. But if it was still attached to the part of the korban, so it's dovuk to the kedusha. So anything that's dovuk to the kedusha remains kaddish, and that's a big yisod. That especially, you know, the kedusha's levi. It's not in the sefer, but he says an unbelievable idea. He says that it's in a different sefer. It's not in the regular kedusha's levi. He says that the Gemara says the shuls, the Batei Knesios and the Batei Midrashos in Chutz La'aretz are eventually going to be replanted in Eretz Yisrael. But you know what he says? That's a chiddush. But you know what's really going to be replanted? The Jewish homes. In other words, the Jewish homes, that's, you spend more time in the Jewish homes. The Jewish homes, if they're places of Kedusha, will be planted. And the chiddush is that even the base medrash and even the base says also, but the more pashut thing is the bayis yehudi. But provided that your house is a house of kedusha, that's roy to be replanted in Eretz Yisrael, and that's what he says. I'll see them, but the knesios or but the midrashos in chutz la'aretz to come into Eretz Yisrael. That's only the that means that even that. But a person who has, you know, but the Jewish home, that's the primary thing that will be replanted, provided that it's a home of Kedusha. So that's why certain things that, you know, sometimes people can bring in their homes could share the Kedusha. So we always have to make sure, you know, the Shalach HaKadosh says, Shofti on the pasuk Shofti v'Shotri Titein L'chol B'chol Sharecha. So the Shalach HaKadosh says that Sharecha, you know what Sharecha means? It means the gates of the city. But you know it also means every opening of the body is another shar. I mean, your mouth, your ears. So you have to have Shofti v'Shotri. I mean, you have to have judges to say, what am I going to be allowing in my ears? What am I allowing in my eyes? What am I allowing in my mouth? You have to have shotrim and shotrim on every sharecha. That's what the Shalom HaKadosh says. On every opening in your body, you have to be a judge to see, is this thing that's going to come in going to bring Kedusha in my life, or is it going to take away Kedusha from my life? And the same thing with your home. What am I allowing in the house? You know, what type of things are allowed in the house and what type of things are not allowed in the house? And that's the idea of Kedusha. Tem advekim Hashem Elokeichem. You know, you are davak Hashem and chayim kulchem hayom. And that's, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. He wanted it to be, you know, to be mekayim the mitzvahs. But Hashem said no. Hashem said no because different reasons why Hashem said no. You know, and the Medrash Rabbah says, he davened v'eschanan, the numerical value of eschanan is 515. The Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Zosa Bracha, Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 tefillos to get into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem said no. There's an Or Chaim HaKadosh that says because Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, then, and he would have built a Beis HaMikdash, then it could never be destroyed because of his Kedusha. So what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is that if the Bnei Yisrael sinned, which they did, and they would warrant that the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed, it wouldn't be. And then Hashem would have to take it out on the Yidden and destroy them, Chas V'Shalom. So the better choice would have been to, you know, like Chazal say that the destruction of Beis HaMikdash in a certain way was a Nachamu Nachamu Ami. So one of the ideas of the Nachama is that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and not the Jewish people being destroyed. And that was only able, I believe the Rechaim HaKadosh says, only because, what? Was only able to be that way only because it wasn't built by Moshe Rabbeinu. So in a certain way, it was a tremendous nechama that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come going. You know, it was a look way. Hashem, you know, he davened so much he wanted to go. Imagine that. So much that, you know, that how much he wanted to go in. And Hashem said, no, Ravlach, it's enough. No. Ravlach, one of the interpretations of Chazal is, I already pointed another Rebbe, Yeshua, he's going in, you're not going in. It was a person like Moshe Rabbeinu who had this vekus for Kedusha and mitzvah sapuyas ba'aretz, but Hashem saw in a broader way. Hashem saw in a broader way why it's to the benefit of Klal Yisrael that Moshe Rabbeinu should not build the Beis HaMikdash, therefore the Beis HaMikdash will be something that could be destroyed if need be, and better that than the Jewish people themselves, even though neither of them is a good thing, but this was the better of the two evils. And that's, so again, Batim Malayim Kol Tov, we learned that you could eat, the tray for meat, but the Shaila is, What happens when you bring it into Eretz Yisrael, and what's the idea of something that had connection to Kedusha? And that's, you know, should always be our goal in life, to always be dovuk to Kedusha. Our home should be Kedusha. As we said, shoftim v'shotim titein v'chom chol sharecha, what we let in our homes, what we let in our openings of our, the sh'orim, the sh'ori haguf, as the Shalom HaKadosh says. The eyes, the ears, all the openings in our body. We have to be very careful because whatever we let in to our body, that's going to control the mahus of the person. You know, what we see, what we hear, what we look at, what we eat, all these things are going to be, are going to affect who we are and what we're going to be. So Bez Hashem, as we come to Shabbos, Nachamu, Nachamu, and Nachamu Ami, Nachamu, Nachamu, and Satma Rebbe of Aaron Teitelbaum says, I'll end with this, Gematria Yitzchak. So maybe you should think about what you think. Maybe you should discuss the Shabbos table instead of me telling you a pshat. You should discuss the Shabbos table. Nachamu, Nachamu is Yitzchak is 208, right? Yitzchak 208. Nachamu, Nachamu is 100. Nachamu is 104. So two Nachamus, 208. So I'll leave that for the Shabbos table. Maybe the next time I could tell you some pshatim. But maybe it'll be a good topic to discuss the Shabbos table. What's the significance of Nachamu, Nachamu, Gematria Yitzchak?